right off topic, back on the air. Oh my God, it's, I feel like we just jumped into a time machine, and there they are, back together again. The Farallon connection, not even in Farallon anymore. Off topic, the duo is back. Jose Padilla, Randy Zelaya, backsportspage.com. Off topic, man. And Jose, it is a pleasure to see you. And I mean that. Some people usually say that, and it's not being true, but. You and I, a long, long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, always had the vision of doing a show. And now that Back Sports Page is sort of rocking and going at full throttle, it feels good to sort of be back with you doing this. And it feels like it's the right way to do it. And I always tell people when you and I are on the air together, sometimes it's better that we don't even discuss what we're going to talk about. We just go.
Very true.
So first off, how are you, my friend? It's good to see you.
I'm good. On a personal note, as you know, I just got over having COVID. Not fun, but it wasn't terrible. Like, you know, it's just one of those things you have to deal with. I actually only missed 7 hours of work because I was working from home. I actually worked from home this weekend because it's our month end for my company. So, you know, they can tell you all you want, but you know what? If you're still alive, you have to work. You know, get on that computer somehow.
make it happen, baby. Make it happen. Now let's give a little bit. Let's give a little a background real quick to us. You and I have been friends for a long, long time, and you know, and we both are very passionate about sports. There's more times that I will admit that you were right, and there is more times I'm sure that you would ever admit that I was. Right. So there's very few times where you do think that I'm right. But and then even when I am right, you still find a way to poke a hole in it. And that's OK. So but
that's what I do, man. I'm the poker.
Yeah. So the way we're going to be running this show is you and I are going to be going back and forth with topics that are obviously going on. We're going to be on fairly consistent starting when I get back from Spain, which will be the 15th. And then we're going to have guests on. But today it's just you and I just talking about what's been going on in the world of sports. And there's a lot going on. And I guess with everything that's going on, I guess we should start where the news is, and that's free agency, NBA free agency. I've done two shows already on Back Sports Page, Sports Network already about, and I've been going crazy about Kevin Durant and Kyrie. But I think it's time for you and I to go for it, and you can put me in my place where you think I'm right, where you think I'm wrong. So let's give some people a backstory about what's going on here with the Nets, and let's go back to when.
I mean, how far back do you want to go with this? I mean,
well, you can just as easily go back to when they both signed, but I think that would be too far back because that part of the story is sort of dead. I think we should go back to the elimination of game 4 of the Nets after the Celtics series. You know, and both those guys stood up there at that press conference, sitting there saying that they're going to be working with ownership on making this a championship contender, and they want to be in Brooklyn, and this is what it's going to be. And Kyrie was saying everything will take care of itself as far as his contract is concerned. Fast forward to the Nets sort of putting their foot down with Kyrie by not giving him a guaranteed extension. You know as much as I do, the NBA Players Association would never allow a contingent deal where there's incentives of games played and stuff like that, the way the Nets wanted to structure it. So in their own way, the Nets put their foot down with Kyrie Irving and said, hey, if you feel that you can go out and find a sign and trade, go to it, brother. Go make that happen. And what came from that was after him not being able to find any sign and trades or the ones that he wanted, the Nets were not interested in, he opted in. Now, this is where the story gets fuzzy. Is KD angry at the Nets brass for not taking care of his buddy? Or is he upset with Kyrie for the antics, and he's pretty much giving him the middle finger saying, okay, well, now you just opted in here. I'm out of here. What is going on here? So only the Nets organization, this can happen.
No, just, you know, if this was the Knicks, forget it. Everyone be talking about this was a predetermined to happen. So let me just tell you, because you're not the only one with connections. I, too, with my, you know, my fandom have some inside info on this. So not great inside info, but inside stuff nonetheless. So it was brought to my attention from, I don't know if you know him personally, but he was at my wedding, so you were at least there. You may not know him personally, but he's a guy who is very connected with his line of work. He had passed along a story to me about this whole situation. There's a general feeling amongst people in basketball that Kyrie is pulling the strings on all this stuff. It's not Durant. It's KD. Excuse me, it's not KD. It's Kyrie. So when Kyrie basically opted in, it was with the thought that, you know, he's going to force his way out regardless. Durant, as you know, has already extended for like 4 years. Shocking,
which is the confusing part of the whole entire thing.
Which shocks, because you would think if they were going to do this, they would have done it in lockstep. So that's always kind of throwing me off. Like, how come one did it earlier than the other? It makes no sense to me. Be it that as it may, it seems like the whole point of, you know, what's going on is Kyrie's upset because Kyrie wants to do what he wants to do. And I don't care what anyone says. To me personally, Kyrie does not care about basketball. He's good at basketball. It's not his first priority. It may not even be his fifth priority. And I jokingly said to people at my job that, you know, what's next for Kyrie to protest? You know, the abortion issues, whatever way he goes, like, is he going to miss games because of that? And we joke about that, but think about that. That's what Kyrie does. Like, any little thing that happens in society, he loses his crap over, and he needs to, like, step away from the game. You can't have that. I applaud the Nets for what they've done because, like you said in a tweet not that long ago, the inmates have run the asylum for too long. And we got to have it more balanced. We can't have we can't have owners and front offices dictating every single thing, but we can't have what we have now either. Because now it's like a Wild West.
You can't have the players going crazy like this. And like I said, when I heard during that presser that those two guys are going to work with management, they're employees. Let the basketball people take care of it and let the players play. And I think that's an overall big problem right now in the NBA, not just with the Nets. Because, look, LeBron does it with the Lakers. We have other players with other teams. Look, Jose, you're an employee at a job. You were not going to go to management and say, okay, this is what we're going to do. No, you don't go to management and say, this is what we're going to do.
But you know what, Randy? That's the problem. And it's not even just sports. That's everywhere now where people think that they can just do or say whatever they want. Like,
wait, we can't?
Off topic. So,
no pun intended.
No pun intended. Wizards of the West Coast, which is owned by, I believe, DC Comics.
Okay.
And I believe they do the D&D stuff. Like, that's their thing. And they're very politically driven over there. Their employees are very politically driven. They were, Hasbro. They're owned by Hasbro. They sent out an email, which was then tweeted in a long-form thread, upset at Hasbro for not putting out a statement in regards with the abortion issues. Talking about how are they, like, not, like, defending the employees, you know, with healthcare and all that other stuff. And it's like, dude, you work for them. They don't work for you. Yeah. You know, maybe they're a toy company. Maybe they don't want to get involved in this stuff, you know. But this is how society works now. It seems like everyone just thinks that they run the show.
It's awful. And I try to put a positive spin on a lot of different things. There's no positive in this because one of two things is going to happen. And correct me if I'm wrong, you don't want to go into training camp with all this.
No.
You definitely don't want to go into camp with this. So with that being said, if I'm Sean Marks and you're saying that you're working with Kevin Durant on getting a sign and trade done, you got to get this done ASAP.
Bless you.
Oh, you know what I mean? Like, you need to get this done within the next week.
Yeah.
And you don't want to go into camp with either one of these guys there because both of these guys are trouble. And now you're also trying to move Ben Simmons around because Ben Simmons, because of his contract, you're handcuffed for bringing in. So you went from saying, I'm going to go out and bring in anybody I can as far as talent's concerned because I'm moving these two guys. Now you have to make a lookout to try and move all three guys. Because you want to be able to get something back of value. But you know, you said to me earlier,
the two of those three guys are very difficult to move because one of them has like just major issues and the other one has shooting issues. and hasn't played in like almost what, 2 years now?
Yeah, he has not played since April or May of 2021. So we're heading into 2022. Yeah. But like, here's the thing though. You know, you have a real tough situation on your hands if you're the Nets. And we'll finish up this part of the topic, and then we're going to go on and continue. We'll do a quick rundown on some of the deals in NBA free agency. You let me know your opinions. We'll jump around, and then we'll, you know, good opening show. you know, the Nets' biggest problem right now is Sean Marks allowed these guys to pick the coach.
Yeah.
They went to go get their friend James Harden, and James Harden got discussed. And by the way,
Harden is the smartest guy in that whole
thing. Yes, I said it yesterday.
He saw it. You know, for all the crap we give James Harden, he saw it.
Yeah,
he saw what was going on.
He went there. He looked at it last year, and he basically said, I don't want to be a part of this mess. And he was like, I'm getting out of here. And Sean Marks was like, maybe something's going on, but I'll agree with you. I'll get you out of here. But, you know, whatever. But you look at everything that this has happened, and now Sean Marks is sitting there saying this is spiraling out of control. So he put his foot down, and the ownership is putting their foot down and not letting the guys do it. Again, the real question of this whole entire thing is Kevin Durant. Is he angry at Nets management for not handling his buddy well, or is he mad at his buddy for jerking around the organization and he just doesn't want to be around him?
I think he's mad at the organization. I don't think he's mad at Kyrie. And it's dumb. You know, the other thing with Durant, though, he's the least hardest to trade. But here's the problem. He's 34.
Yeah.
And you got a four-year deal with that guy. When that contract ends, you might have 2 years of complete money wasting.
Well, here's a question for you. What contender can give the Nets something that they want that still makes them a contender that KD is going to put them over the top? You can't say the Phoenix Suns because you have to move something that's viable with them. You're either gutting your bench or your young players.
Well, it's not going to be Booker because of this rule that we're talking about, which I've never even heard of. But
And you're not moving Chris Paul to get Kevin Durant to play with Booker.
No.
You're not doing that. So
you know, maybe it could be picks and Anton. You know, it could be that. You might have to settle for that because you're not going to get anything of any value.
Well, that's the problem. You've heard me say this. He is not a max player. He is a victim of circumstance of the guys he plays with. You know, that's why Phoenix is not sitting there throwing money at him right now. They're gonna try and match if they feel that it's worth matching.
Well, I'll say this. I'm not a fan of the guy. I wasn't a big fan of him coming out of college, but let's. We have to be fair.
He looks like he's 40. Reminds me of Greg Oden.
Well, he looks like Greg Oden.
Yeah, exactly.
But let's be fair. Let's see what he does, because he's going to get moved. He's not staying with Phoenix. Right. I want to see what he does when he's on a different team. And if he's still putting up the 17 and 10, then it's like, all right, this guy's not that. This is not the max player.
He's a complimentary piece, though. He is not a game changer.
But you know what? I believe, was he the first or the second round, first or second pick in the draft?
I think it was like the second. I think it was the second pick in the draft.
He was still a top. He was a top three pick. So
yeah,
you have to give that guy the benefit of the doubt.
I understand that, but he's like me.
I mean,
like,
you have no choice. There's no choice. You have to do it because he got picked.
I know. I understand that, but he's not. You know, but he is not, from a basketball perspective, which seems to get lost in every trade now these days because it's about money. He is not a game changer.
Well, to be fair though, we don't know that because he hasn't had to be. You don't have to be a game changer when you got Devin Booker and you got Chris Paul.
Okay,
you're not asked to carry the load.
Let's transition. Let's transition because it's only making me more upset. I want to enjoy my Saturday. that's when we're taping this. Let's move over to your New York Knicks. Jalen Brunson and Mitchell Robinson both signed on the dotted line. Knicks made a trade earlier in the week to help get some money to make that happen. Look, and we were talking about this on the Hardwood Huddle. I really don't have much of an issue with the deal with Jalen Brunson.
Here, let me say what I'm going to say, and then you can retort it.
Well, okay. I just wanted to finish my. Yeah,
all right, see your point.
I have no problem with the deal but with one thing, because you're paying him. I think you'll agree with me. If this was any other free agent deal, free agent year, this is a $15 to $18 million contract per year. because of the lack of depth of good players this year, he lucked out and was able to get $25 million, which is fine. The one thing I hope it doesn't do, I'm not knocking the signing for any other reason, but this is my only concern. If this is my only concern, this is not a bad concern. I'm hoping he doesn't stump the growth of RJ Barrett. That's it, because Brunson wants the ball in his hands. RJ Barrett is growing into Batman for them. I don't want that growth being stumped.
All right, so this is why I think you don't have to worry about that. First of all, let's talk about the money. Brunson would probably still get this money from some team, regardless of what year.
Dallas would have gave it to him.
That's a nonsensical thing to say that he was going to get it. He was going to get it regardless.
That wasn't the problem. I was just making that point, saying because of the climate he's in for this offseason.
No, but
he's getting more money because of it. I don't know if he would have gotten $25 million any other year.
I think he would have. Listen, I'm not a fan of it, though. I'm not telling you I agree with it. I'm just telling you he would have got it.
Okay, that's fair.
So here's what it comes down to. When you're the Knicks, you have to get this guy because right now this guy is the best point guard they've had in the last 20 years.
I agree with you on that.
So you have to get him for that. He's a point guard, so he's not cutting the growth of RJ. If anything, he's going to make it better.
Okay.
The person that's responsible for messing up RJ's growth is on this team right now, and that's Julius Randle.
Okay.
That's who's the person that they need to get rid of. But now, let me just say, I am not a fan of this signing, but I understand why they have to do it. But here's the other factor that comes into play with this. And I think, and it's something I know you brought up, and I think everyone in the front office is very knowing of this issue.
Okay.
It is hard for them to get people to come to this team.
Yeah.
Because people don't like, and it's not even the Knicks.
People have a hard time
playing in New York. Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that. Look at the two cowards that are basically leaving right now with their tails in between their legs because they can't handle it. So when you get a guy who wants to come here, you have to get him in here. Now, the other thing I was going to say, though, in regard, because I know you alluded to it, of your hope that this isn't the move to try to get a bigger guy that may not want to come here. Here's the thing, and I can tell you this right now because, again, this is with me speaking to my friend. And Bleacher Report actually put out a story on this. The Knicks are very cognizant of the fact that they're not willing to, that they need another piece. But they've let it be known they're not willing to gut the roster to get a guy.
No. They're not.
That's why they're not going after Spider. That's basically because they're not willing to move all those pieces to get him, which we should applaud them because they're not trying to make a quick fix.
Let's go into that point. I'll close out this part of the Knicks. You're not saying anything I disagree with. You're not saying anything I disagree with right now. Julius Randle, look, if they were able to move him right now, they would do it. Yeah. If they were able to, nobody wants him. Not with that price tag on it. Now, unless you want to send him to Basketball Siberia, I know Utah is going to be rebuilding. And let's talk about that right now. Utah making a big move yesterday. Donovan Mitchell has been the talk of a lot of different trade talks between Miami wanted to go after him, New York wanted to go after him, even now maybe even Brooklyn might want to go after him. And look, the simple fact of the matter is you just traded Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell were like A-Rod and Jeter together without being that high level. Two guys who are just not getting along with each other, Gobert and Mitchell, they just didn't like each other. And by them trading Gobert, and which, by the way, they won that deal. Utah got what they wanted. Four draft picks.
Man. All unprotected.
All unprotected. And we know Minnesota's not going to be successful for too long. That's just the way that the culture of that team is. They were great this past year. They had a great first-round series against Memphis. It was probably the most compelling one of all the first-round series. It was very entertaining with a lot of young players. But they're still a solid team.
Those picks aren't going to be great, but they're going to still be good.
Right. But Mitchell, but basically you're sitting there saying, we're going to rebuild around you, Donovan, which sort of hurts the other trade possibilities with Miami and New York. But if you're Minnesota, you're bringing in Gobert, and you already have Karl Anthony Towns. So, okay, you're going to go with the Twin Towers. Well, how does Anthony Edwards sort of navigate through that? You know what I mean? It's like, from a basketball standpoint, it didn't make sense. I felt like they stole him from Utah, which is cool. But from the basketball side, you're sitting there going,
oh. Well, I don't know. I think it actually makes perfect sense. Because now you got Gobert as your five. Now you got Towns, who is probably going to be a more dominant four than he is a five.
Yeah, and he'll be your stretch four.
Anthony Edwards is a small four shooting guard combo, even possibly like quasi point guard, really. So no, I don't think from a basketball standpoint it ruins anything. From a chemistry standpoint, that might take some time, but
yeah, Pat Beverly was a terrible loss for them because he was a great leader for him and Russell as well. You know,
Beverly's like, the guy I think that wears out his welcome. So
maybe that's why he does it everywhere.
There. So it's a guy who thinks he's better than he really is, but he's a good player. He's just thinks he's more important than he really is.
Listen, a lot of max contracts handed out: Booker, Jokic, Towns, a bunch of these, any of these.
Jokic is the only guy that got money. I think that actually deserved it.
Okay, well that was my question. I'm looking around at those deals. Morant played great, but I hope he can stay healthy. That was his problem last year.
Can I say something really? Can I say something that's is gonna like everyone's gonna be mad at me after I say it?
No, we're always mad at you anyway. Go ahead.
Yeah. In a few years, people are going to look back at that draft of Zion, Morant, and Barrett, and Barrett's going to end up being the best player in that draft.
I think you can make an argument for either Barrett or Morant.
I only say Barrett because, for me, I think Morant's going to have a lot of injury issues. You can kind of see it already.
He's very reckless on the floor. They had quite a long stretch. The team played well without him.
They do play well, but I'll tell you right now, that's going to be controversial. That's a controversial thought, and it's going to come to fruition, I think, because Barrett seems to be the only guy that actually gets it.
In the Eastern Conference, the only team right now I can honestly say that I've seen has gotten better. Atlanta, maybe, with the Murray pickup. It's just now they have to work out who's going to be handling the ball between him and Young.
That's going to be a problem, I think, but
The Hawks made a trade with the Spurs within that deal, and the Spurs are waiving Gallinari or doing a buyout with Gallinari, and he's going to end up going to Boston. And Boston just bought in Brogdon.
Yeah.
So I think the Celtics so far might be the only team that has really gotten better.
Well, just remember, though, now, what's the dynamic going to be with Smart? Because Smart is the keg there. Yeah. So that could be an issue. That could be an issue. Maybe I'm overthinking it there, but to be the kind of guy that might like ruin him. Like,
oh, he's an alpha dog. And when it comes to him playing, I said this before. I think there's three teams obviously that need a little bit more. I know there's a couple teams I have already established. I feel like need the Robin. They got the Batman. They need the Robin. I think I know how you're going to argue with this point with me. Because they won a championship 2 seasons ago already, the Milwaukee Bucks. Giannis is a star. We know that. We know what his limitations are. We know he still has to develop that mid-range jump shot. He can hit the big three. He loves going to the basket. It's the rest of that little inside game he needs to work on.
It's all right because he does the other stuff really well.
Yeah, he does. I'm not discounting that whatsoever. But
You know what Giannis has? He doesn't have a Robin. He has a bunch of Alfreds. And you know what? That's fine too.
Yeah, well, but I'm saying, middle. But that's the thing. You lost one of your Alfreds in the playoffs this year, which really hurt him, and it glorified on how undeep or how not deep his supporting cast is. Because, you know what you're getting from Drew Holiday. But Drew Holiday is not a number two or number three. He's like a four option. Brooke Lopez is more of a complimentary piece now, and his time is rolling down as well. So there's, they need some help, and they need to make some changes. They need to alter some things. The 76ers bought in P.J. Tucker. Something was going on when P.J. Tucker is the ultimate workers guy, and he opted out of Miami.
I don't get the love for P.J. I understand what he brings to the table. I just don't get the love. I understand who the GM is over in Philadelphia, so I get that. He's basically trying to make Houston East out there, essentially. But I don't get the love for Tucker, but I understand. I know what he brings. I just don't see why people are so enamored with it.
Yeah, I don't see it either. Otherwise, like, you know, if you want to listen to some of the other moves that have made, you know, check out the Hardwood Huddle. And we did off topic a couple of days ago, but that was mostly Nets focused on what was going on. Jose, let's real quick before we, you know, before we jump out of here, where do you want to go first? Because we have to do two other things. You want to do baseball or you want to do football?
Yeah, man. Your choice, my friend. Your choice.
All right, let's go baseball real quick. Your Metropolitans, buddy. Metropolitans. They're
a swoon right now, but it's not terrible.
Yeah, you know what, though? This is one of those things that you won enough early that you're going to hit that lull spot, and this just might be the lull spot.
Yeah.
You know,
you know what? I've always said this. The games you win in April are the games you don't have to win in September. Someone brought up something the other day from earlier and said they should have went after Kyle Schwarber. You know, in hindsight, yeah, maybe they should have. But, you know, my whole thing is that you had Dom Smith here. You had JD Davis. You gotta give those guys a crack at it. You know, obviously it hasn't worked out. So they gotta get a bat. Hopefully they bring in Trey Mancini from Baltimore.
Yeah.
Because that'd be a nice fit. You know, obviously he's worked with Buck Showalter before, so that would – be a nice fit there. Could DH, play outfield, first base whenever you need him to. But I'm a little concerned, though, because the injuries are starting to stockpile now. Like they're getting hurt as easy as you and me get hurt looking at basketball.
Yeah. And that's often. And that is often. And the Yankees, look, the Yankees just keep winning. They rained out last night. As you listen to this, this is being taped on Saturday morning, so Friday night they got rained out. Look, here's my thing with the Yankees. No expectation level coming in. Actually, it was negative expectation level coming into the season. Nobody expected them to play as well as they're playing. But now, with the way that they are playing, now it's really World Series or bust. And if they don't win a World Series this year, their fan base is going to be outside the stadium with pickaxes chasing them.
Well, here's the thing. No one cares about the regular season with the Yankees. It's just kind of you go to the playoffs and then you see what happens there. Because
yeah, I agree with you.
If they miss the playoffs, that's just a different – that's a different apocalypse altogether.
Yeah.
But now,
and you just said it right. It's an apocalypse because they're so far ahead now.
But now it has gotten to the point now where they have to at least make the World Series. But as we've seen in the series with Houston, that's not going to be easy for them because every time they play a really good team, you find the warts of this team. The Yankees beat down on mediocre to bad teams. They do not play well against good teams.
And then we also have the Aaron Judge situation where he almost went to arbitration just to get paid for this year. He doesn't sound like a guy who wants to stay in the Yankees.
No, he's leaving. He's leaving. He's not going to be a Yankee after this year.
But that money. And sometimes you can be as annoyed as you want to be at an organization, but as soon as they flash that money at you, you're sitting there going, well, but it's a real good amount of money. Sometimes you just can't turn that money away.
I have a funny feeling the Giants are going to end up bringing him in.
Okay.
Hopefully it's the
New York Giants. They can use as much help as they can get it too.
I think they'll be fine, the New York Giants. We'll talk about that another time.
We're 2 minutes away from the New York Giants. So.
Yeah, but I have a funny feeling Judge is going to leave. I'm not sure where. I think San Francisco, but like I don't think he'll be a Yankee at the end of this year. So if you're the Yankees, it's definitely your best interest to do everything possible to get to the World Series. But I just don't see it. I don't see that ending well for them.
Okay. Well, that's fair. Now let's real quickly just finish out with some New York football. Let's start with the Jets and we'll finish out with the Giants. Look, the Jets, you know, I guess the no news is good news.
Yeah.
You know, like Zach Wilson,
I believe in Zach Wilson, by the way. I love Zach Wilson.
Okay. That was going to be my question to you. This is going to be the year for him to either step up or step off because – you never want to say that, but look at the leash that New York Jets quarterbacks have had over the year. These young quarterbacks, Sam Darnold looked okay his rookie year, and they took care of him, and then they booted him because they had the number two pick in the draft, the number three pick in the draft, and they picked Zach Wilson. Here's my big thing with the Jets. There's a couple teams out there who struggled last year. Who I think can turn it around this year and not be the Cleveland Browns, but be improved. And I think the Jets are a team as long as their head coach keeps that mentality of we're going to help run through a wall for you type of coach. Robert Saleh has that type of personality, like a likable coach, but I just they cannot go backwards this year. They have a lot of talent. They just cannot go backwards.
Well, I don't know if they have a lot of talent. Like I said, I like the quarterback. I think he's going to be very good. They have to get the Beckham situation resolved. They have to figure that out. I think that's the more pressing issue. I got to see their defense. Their defense was atrocious last year. And the problem is that when you bring in a guy who's supposed to be the top-notch defensive coordinator and your defense is atrocious, that's a problem. It can't be atrocious. It can be bad. It can be leaking and learning. It can't be atrocious.
Yeah, I agree with you. Now, quickly, let's finish up with the New York Giants. Obviously, you've heard the Big Blue reports and some of the questions that we've had about Daniel Jones. I think that will take care of itself. Yeah. You got to get it. Whatever I see at practice is what is practice. I can't overjudge it. You and I have said this. The one big thing I'm gonna ask you, and I think you'll agree with me, and then we have to go because we're against the clock. I don't want Giants fans to get caught up in the schedule because yes, we have Jacksonville. We have the Lions, the Bears, the Texans, the Seahawks. I understand these are weaker teams, but also people have to understand that those teams are looking at the Giants because of how bad the Giants have been over the last few years.
Yeah.
That's a win for them. That's their mentality. And the thing that scares me, if the Giants play well this year and if they win 9 to 10 games, 11 games with this schedule, and all of a sudden we start rewarding Daniel Jones with a contract and we give him Barkley another, a bigger contract. I don't want this to be 2016 all over again where the Giants beat these inferior teams and then in 2017 when the harder schedule comes out, we get blown out of the water.
Yeah. So I've been thinking about this. I had a funny thing that was going to come up because we've had conversations about this. So my guess, this is my thought process on this whole thing. Yeah, we should be very cautious about what goes on this year with the schedule. I honestly think this is one of the few times you have to look at what the numbers say as far as, players like Barkley and Jones. I've told you many a time, short of them going to the Super Bowl, I don't think they're bringing Jones back anyway. So I think it's irrelevant what he does.
That's fair. Well, what's the leash for Daniel? And that has been, you know me, we've had so many conversations about it. How many times can I ask, what is the leash for Daniel Jones?
See, to me, I actually think he's a really good quarterback who's just been put in a bad situation. And I say that, and I was never a fan of him being drafted. I did not like him.
Nobody was happy when he was drafted. Let's call a spade a spade.
But he's shown that he can play. Listen, he didn't do what he did by accident in his rookie year. So clearly there's something there. I think the offense that he had to deal with the last couple of years was stone-aged at best. So let's see what he does in the new, what should be more modern NFL offense. And if he, if he puts up decent numbers, you'd live with it. Again, I don't think he's coming back regardless. What the biggest issue for me as a Giant fan, especially if you're one of these guys that is hell-bent on getting a new quarterback no matter what happens. Because let's be honest, for some Giant fans, they don't want Jones back regardless of what happens.
Like, I agree.
I think if he wins the Super Bowl, they don't want him back. You don't want to you just don't want to get put in a situation where Jones plays so well and you still want to get rid of him that you're not in position to get his replacement.
Exactly. And if, for those Giants fans who want Jones gone and want to draft a rookie quarterback, this is not the schedule that you want to have. All right, Jose, first one back in the books, 34 minutes long. Appreciate having you back here. Jose Padilla, you can follow him on Twitter at AngryJose15. I wonder how he got that Twitter handle. Of course, follow me on Instagram and Twitter, RandyBSB. And Jose, guess what, brother? That's it for us. We'll be back fairly soon with another episode between you and I. And, I'm very impressed we didn't kill each other. It was very, very good.
It was cordial.
It was very cordial. Well, first one's always cordial. Now we'll knee deep, and I feel sorry for any guest that comes on with us. All right. We'll see you next time here on Off Topic, BackSportsPage.com.